The reading this evening will be Hosea 4, verses 1 to 14, which can be found on page 752 of your church Bibles. Roger will be reading from chapter 4, verses 15 to 5, verse 15. So starting from Hosea 4, verses 1 to 14, on page 752 of your church Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet let no one contend, and let none accuse. For with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity. And that shall be like the people, like priest. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They shall eat but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore but not multiply. Because they have forsaken the Lord who cherish whoredom, wine, and new wine, which take away the understanding. My people inquire a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles, for a spirit of whoredom has led them astray, and they have left their God to play the whore. They sacrifice on the tops of mountains and burn offerings on the hills, under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is good. Therefore your daughters play the whore, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they play the whore, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go aside with prostitutes and sacrifice with cult prostitutes, and a people without understanding shall come to ruin.
And then continuing the reading on page 753, Hosea 4, verse 15. Though you play the whore, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Enter not into Gilgal, nor go up to Beth Avon, and swear not as the Lord lives. Like a stubborn heifer, Israel is stubborn. Can the Lord now feed them like a lamb in a broad pasture? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. When their drink is gone, they give themselves to whoring. Their rulers dearly love shame. A wind has wrapped them in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Hear this, O priests. Pay attention, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for the judgment is for you. For you have been a snare at Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters have gone deep into slaughter. But I will discipline all of them. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the whore. Israel is defiled. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God, for the spirit of whoredom is within them, and they know not the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Israel and Ephraim shall stumble in his guilt. Judah also shall stumble with them. With their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him, for he has withdrawn from them. They have dealt faithlessly with the Lord, for they've borne alien children. Now the new moon shall devour them with their fields. Blow the horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Sound the alarm at Beth Avon. We follow you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall become a desolation in the day of punishment. Among the tribes of Israel, I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah have become like those who move the landmark. Upon them I'll pour out my wrath like water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, because he was determined to go after filth. But I'm like a moth to Ephraim and like dry rot to the house of Judah. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king. But he is not able to cure you or heal your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face and in their distress earnestly seek me.
Gomer is instructed that she must no longer play the whore or belong to another man, but be faithful to Hosea, and he will be faithful to her. Through the image of Hosea and Gomer's marriage, the Israelites are to understand that they have been running after other gods and are caught up in idolatry. Despite being God's chosen people, they have been whoring themselves after other gods through their idolatry. Although God is long-suffering, he is warning his people about the potential consequences he will bring upon them if they do not turn from their idolatry. Ultimately, God will pursue them and free them from the clutches of this idolatry, but they must be faithful to him. They must acknowledge their guilt and turn back to him. Chapter 3 ends with this hopeful picture that although there may be many years spent in exile, his people will return to their God. They shall seek after his king, and they shall know his goodness again. So that's the first chunk of the book. That's chapters 1 to 3. In the next section, chapters 4 to 11, we get into the specific accusations of God against his people. This is the nuts and bolts of the things that they're doing wrong. If ever you've been in an argument with someone and they're just hitting you with accusation after accusation after accusation, that's what this section of the book is going to be like. God calling out his people time and time again and warning them of the consequences should they continue to run from him and engage in their idolatry. God is not being unreasonable in repeatedly making these accusations, but he is instead holding his people to account, wanting them to acknowledge their sin so that they can turn from it and return to him. God has graciously entered into this relationship with his people. His people have wronged him and rejected him, and they're chasing after other gods. And God is making these accusations in the hope that his people might turn back to him, that they might acknowledge their guilt, and that they might return to him. And the good news that is that in the last section of the book, chapters 12 to 14, it does start to turn a bit more hopeful, and we'll see that when we get there. The book of Hosea is written with the complete narrative of Hosea and Gomer right at the start, because it's very helpful for us to know how the story will end, to have that image of how the story is going to end, especially when we come to passages like tonight's. Because otherwise these passages might leave us feeling somewhat hopeless. So tonight we're going to dig into chapters 4 and 5, where we'll see two contentions of God with his people and two warnings to his people. Before we do that, let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be at work in our hearts this evening. Lord, speak to us from your word and convict us of our sins. Lord, we pray that you would give us hearts that earnestly desire to seek you, that return to you when we sin and genuinely repent. Lord, help us to see the damage that idolatry can do to your people. Help us see the damage it's doing to us. And help us to genuinely seek to know you and to walk in relationship with you. Speak to us this evening, Lord, and keep our hearts near to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you've ever been tempted to take scissors to your Bible in order to cut out something that you find particularly challenging or things that you simply don't agree with. Famously, Thomas Jefferson, one of America's founding fathers, took scissors and a razor to his Bible to remove references to Jesus as a miracle worker and to his resurrection. Jefferson was okay with Jesus, the moral teacher, but not Jesus, the miracle worker. I think today most people would advocate for significantly more cutting, not only removing the miracles, but probably cutting away the vast majority of the Bible's moral teachings as well. Much of what the Bible has to say about sexual ethics or even gender would simply be cut away for its intolerance. There's a real temptation to reject God's law, to reject God's standards, because it calls us to difficult things and it's so at odds with what the world tells us. God has graciously given us his revelation of himself. But the temptation is to cut away the difficult bits because they're so at odds with the world. In our passage this evening, we're going to see the utter devastation that happens to the people of God when God's priests reject knowledge of him. Rather than leading God's people to him, the priests revel in leading the people into idolatry, which is massively destructive. To warn you, there are a lot of details in the text tonight, and we could easily feel like we're drowning in them all, so we can't work our way through them all. But hopefully we can get a good flavour of what the passage is saying. We're going to use these two headings that are on the sheet to help us unpack the passage. Firstly, we'll see the Lord's two contentions. That's chapter 4, verses 1 to 14. And then we'll think about the Lord's two warnings. That's chapter 4, verses 15 to 5:15. So diving into our first section, the Lord's two contentions. The first contention is found in verses 1 to 3 of chapter 4. So Hosea 4, verse 1 says this: "Hear the word of the Lord, O Israel, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land." God's contention is that the people have forgotten him. They're not faithful to him. They have no love for him. Things have gotten so bad that they don't even have any knowledge of him whatsoever. This is God's diagnosis of everything that's going wrong in the land. The people have no faithfulness to God, no steadfast love for God, and no knowledge of God. And everything that follows out of these same problems. Pursuit of God is so far from their minds, that instead of loving him faithfully and following him, the land has become full of sin that we see in verse 2. So verse 2. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. God's people have completely forsaken him, and they have given themselves over to this real wickedness that flows from abandoning God and casting aside his will and his lordship over their lives. And so verse 3, "Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish. And also the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens and even the fish of the sea are taken away." The people have forsaken God's will, God's ways, and the love of God. And so there are consequences felt by everyone who dwells in the land. Even the animals in the fields, the birds in the air, and the fish in the sea. Everyone. No one and nothing escapes the coming consequences brought about because the people of Israel have forsaken their God. How is it that the people of God have come to forsake their God and engage in such wretched behavior? The answer to that is that the priests are leading the people astray, which we see in the second contention in the passage. So Hosea 4, verses 4 to 14. Yet let no one contend, and let none of you accuse. For with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of God, I also will forget your children. God tells the priest in verse 6, you have rejected knowledge of me. You had this chance to know me. You had this chance to dwell in my word and to lead my people in true knowledge of me. Yet you rejected me. You rejected knowledge of me. And because you have rejected knowledge of me, my people are going to be destroyed. How can you teach my people about me when you've rejected knowledge of me? But God goes on, if you will reject knowing me, then I will reject knowing you. I will reject you as priests. I will reject your children as priests. And Israel will suffer the consequences. That's what God means when he says, I will destroy your mother. He means that Israel will suffer the consequences because you, priests, have rejected me and taught Israel to do the same. That's bad enough. But God hasn't finished yet with his contention against the priests. So picking up from verse 7. The more they, that is the priests, increased, the more they sinned against me, I will change their glory to shame. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity. And it shall be like people like priests. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They shall eat but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore but not multiply. They have forsaken the Lord to cherish whoredom, wine and new wine, which take away the understanding. At the heart of these priests is an insatiable desire to chase after new things, to chase after their own idolatry, their own sins, and to teach others to do the same. They are greedy for the sins of the people. It's what they feed on. These priests are so corrupt that they desperately want to lead the people astray. They're like the drug dealer who sees his customers getting high and wants to see it more and more because it feeds something in them. But this is what happens when insidious sin and idolatry gets at the hearts of the spiritual leaders of God's people. It unleashes this slew of sins among the people that we saw in verse 2 and we see in verses 12 to 14. Picking up in verse 12, God says, my people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles. For the spirit of whoredom has led them astray, and they have left their God to play the whore. They sacrifice on the tops of mountains and burn offerings on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters play the whore, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they play the whore, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go aside with prostitutes and sacrifice with cult prostitutes. And a people without understanding shall come to ruin. Here we see God's people engaging in idol worship, playing the whore with idols and asking them for wisdom because they do not know God. They're spending their time asking bits of wood for wisdom because it seems good to them. But really what they're doing is repeatedly forsaking God and whoring around with idol worship. They've been overtaken by a spirit of whoredom rather than seeking to know God. Let's be clear. The idol worship is fun. That's why they want to do it. They want to engage in the acts of adultery with cult prostitutes because it's good fun. And because they simply do not know better. To chase after an idol can be good fun. But they should know better. The lack of knowledge of God has led his people to all sorts of idolatry and sins of all kinds. And it has come about because the priests have rejected knowledge of God and have led the people into sin for their own gratification. When I was studying for my divinity degree, I was training alongside some candidates for ministry for various churches. And I remember one of them saying that they had rejected things like Romans 9 to 11 and Ephesians 5. And actually, they were pretty unhappy with Paul's writings altogether, to be honest. For them, Christianity should really be about sharing the love of Christ. This was someone who was training to be an under-shepherd of God's people. But really what they were doing was training to be these kinds of priests. They were taking scissors to God's word, rejecting the true knowledge of God for something that sounds vaguely Christian, but actually is so far removed from the true knowledge of God. We've seen from the first half of our passage the effect that priests rejecting the knowledge of God has on the people of Israel. It's so dangerous and so destructive to the people of God. And the sad thing is, we've seen churches and denominations across the country doing this time and time again over the last number of years. We'll talk in a minute about how we guard ourselves against this. We'll talk about that at the end of the sermon. But first, I want to get into the second half of the passage. So our second section, the Lord's two warnings, chapter 4:15 to 5:15. The second half of our passage contains two stark warnings for Israel and Judah. The first warning found in verses 15, chapter 4, verses 15 to 19. Though you play the whore, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Enter not into Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-Aven, and swear not as the Lord lives. Like a stubborn heifer, Israel is stubborn. Can the Lord now feed them like a lamb in a broad pasture? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. When their drink is gone and they give themselves to whoring, their rulers dearly love shame. A wind has wrapped them in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Speaking directly to Judah, God is saying, do not get caught up in the same things that Israel is doing. It may look like fun, but actually Israel is playing the whore with idols. Don't you do it. Don't go to Gilgal. Don't go anywhere near Beth-Aven. These are places of religious significance in Israel. But don't go anywhere near them, because they're being used for idolatry, and I don't want you to get caught up with them. Israel is stubborn. It will not turn from its idolatry. Stay well clear. Similarly, Ephraim, which is regularly used in Hosea as a shorthand for Israel, because they're the dominant tribe in Israel. Stay well clear of Ephraim. Stay well clear. They're getting drunk and engaging in idolatry. They are caught up in something they cannot escape. They will be put to shame because of their idolatry. Stay well away. Today there would be churches that teach things that are so far away from the truth that the thing you must say to someone who is considering moving to one of these churches is don't do it. They're so lost. They're teaching things that are so far from God's word because they've rejected it. Don't go anywhere near them. We're not talking about secondary issues or different opinions on worship styles. We're talking about rejection of the truth, to teach idolatry and seek to lead others in it. Churches that teach loose sexual ethics, permit or encourage adultery or any other form of sexual immorality. Churches that call things holy, that God calls sin. They might seem like fun, but they're deadly. Don't go anywhere near them. But unfortunately, the people of Judah do get themselves involved. And so the second warning is even starker. Wrath is coming because you got involved. Hosea 5, verses 1 to 4. Hear this, O priests. Pay attention, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king. For the judgment is for you. For you have been a snare at Mizpah and have spread a net upon Tabor. And the revolters have gone down deep into slaughter, but I will discipline all of them. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the whore. Israel is defiled. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. For the spirit of whoredom is within them, and they know not the Lord. Here we see God warning Israel and Ephraim that he will discipline them because of their continuing idolatry. Not only is discipline coming, but their idolatry is such that they will not even be able to return to God. Their sin and their idolatry has come to a point where it's stopping them from returning to God at all. Such is the horrendous situation they've gotten themselves into. But now we see Judah is getting involved as well, picking up from verse 5. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Israel and Ephraim shall stumble in his guilt. Judah also shall stumble with them. With their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. They have dealt faithlessly with the Lord, for they have borne alien children. Now the new moon shall devour them with their fields. The stumbling of Israel and Ephraim has led to Judah stumbling. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. Be careful not to get involved in the idol worship of people who do not know God. Because of their faithless dealings with God, he has withdrawn from them and they will suffer the consequences. This is very similar to Romans 1:24, where God says he has given them up to the lusts of their hearts. God has withdrawn from them. And even if they should seek to sacrifice to him, they will not find him because of what they've done. So the warning is that because of their faithless dealings with God, they shall be destroyed. And that's how the passage continues from verse 8. Blow the horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah, sound the alarm at Beth-Aven. We follow you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall become a desolation in the day of punishment. Among the tribes of Israel, I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah have become like those who move the landmark. Upon them I will pour out my wrath like water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, because he was determined to go after filth. But I am like a moth to Ephraim and like dry rot to the house of Judah. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king. But he is not able to cure you or heal your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. There are warning horns sounding in Israel and Judah. Punishment is coming and God's wrath shall be poured out. They're going to be destroyed because of their determination to run after filth. But notice for me who it is that brings this destruction. I, even I. It is God himself who will pour out his wrath. It is God who will consume them like a moth and like rot. It is God who will tear at them and carry them off like a lion. Because of what they have done, their rejection of the knowledge of God, he will destroy them. We know that God will ultimately do it by having the Israelites carried off into exile by the Assyrians. and Judah will be carried off by the Babylonians. But the people must understand it is God who is pouring out his wrath because of what they have done. Ephraim will actually run to the king of Assyria for help. Rather than turn to God, they run to the king of Assyria for help. But there'll be no help for them when God pours forth his wrath. Now that would be a very bleak picture and a very bleak place for us to finish this evening. But there is one more verse. And in it there is just a tiny glimmer of hope. Verse 15. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Even despite all that they have done, God is saying to his people, I'm returning to my place, but the door is open for you to genuinely repent and seek me. One of the great advantages of having seen the whole narrative of Hosea and Gomer before we get into these details of the accusations, one of the great advantages is we know there is a happy ending brought about by Hosea's paying the ransom for Gomer and restoring her. The call on God's people is to repent, to look to God's king, and to trust in his goodness. Even despite everything that they have done, all the idolatry that they've been engaging in, the door is still open. And the call is still, return to God and seek him. And just like Hosea, God has paid the ransom to bring his people back to him. But his people must now repent, be faithful to him, and trust in him. They must seek him with all of their heart. God has paid the ransom to bring us back to him. But we must now repent, be faithful to him, and trust in him as we seek him with all of our heart. This has been quite a long sermon, but before we finish, I must offer some final thoughts on application. Firstly, as God's people, we must be careful of the voices that we listen to and the leaders that we have over us. The problem for Israel was that the very people who should have been teaching them about God had rejected the truth and instead were feeding on leading them astray. As Christians, we must ensure that the people who are leading our churches genuinely love God and delight in his truth, that they faithfully teach the whole Bible, that they will not shy away from teaching hard and convicting truths, just like Jay did this morning. If a church leader will say, I will not teach that biblical truth because I don't believe it, then it's time to call that leader out or find another church. Like Judah, we must be careful who we listen to, and we must not get involved in this idolatry. For church leaders or those who would lead, we must guard against becoming like these false priests by delighting to know God's truth, loving him and his word, seeking to know him and to make him known. We humble ourselves under the conviction of his word and delight in it as we trust him and point others to him. We must also be very careful that those who we work with in this church and across churches genuinely seek to know the Lord and are faithful to him. We must stay well clear of those who have rejected the truth to teach lies and engage in idolatry. The second application for us comes from the invitation of chapter 5, verse 15. God hasn't withdrawn from us as he did from Israel. He hasn't withdrawn from us. He has made himself known. But where we sin and where we get things wrong, we must acknowledge our own guilt and seek to know God and his word. As we'll celebrate with communion in a minute or two, he has paid the ransom to bring us back to him. He is faithful to forgive, where we repent and seek to know him. And so the call on us is to be faithful to him, to love him, and to seek to know him, to repent and trust in him. Let's pray that we would do that more and more. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this evening, we ask that you would help us to love you and love your truth and love the truth of your word. Lord God, keep us faithful to you. Lord, help us to be discerning and to flee from those who would distort the truth of your word. Lord, where we sin and fall short, help us to repent, trusting that you have paid the ransom to bring us back to you. Help us, Lord, to return to you and to genuinely seek you with our hearts. Help us to be faithful to you, to love you, and to seek to know you. Keep us walking with you, we pray. In Jesus' name.